You're listening to Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
It's time for the Mitch Henderson Show. Let's go live to the Alchemist and Barrister on Witherspoon Street in Princeton. Here's your host, Derek Jones.
Good evening and welcome to the Alchemist and Barrister here in downtown Princeton, New Jersey. It is the latest edition of the Mitch Henderson Show. I am Derek Jones. We'll be joined by the head coach of Princeton Tigers basketball, Mitch Henderson, in just a little while. We have a couple of special guests to start things off, which we'll get to in just a moment. But a couple of things first here before we bring them in. Princeton University basketball going into this weekend, taking on Brown and Yale, the Tigers clinching a spot in the Ivy League tournament that will take place the weekend of March 16th and 17th. However, what we don't know right now is, A, who they're going to play, and B, where they will finish in terms of the order. There are scenarios in which they could finish first, second, third, or fourth. So a lot to be decided here over the next couple of days. And with that, we'll bring in our special guest, associate head coach of the Princeton Tigers, Brett McConnell, along with assistant coach Jonathan Jones. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thanks, Derek. Thanks for having us.
Great to have you back on the show, and lots to cover. And certainly, before we get to the games from last weekend, it has to feel great to be back in the Ivy League tournament after a one-year hiatus.
For sure, man. We're so excited to be back. What a relief to have that, you know, check that box and be clinched for the Ivy League tournament.
No doubt, and it's a great opportunity for the Tigers now moving forward, and we'll get into the games this weekend in a little bit. But first, let's take it back to last Friday, the Tigers taking on Dartmouth. And, you know, we talked about this with Coach Henderson prior to the game last Saturday at Harvard. You go into a game thinking you're going to see this or that, or it's going to be a close Ivy League game. You don't expect to see the head coach not a part of the festivities.
I certainly didn't expect it, Derek.
I don't think anybody did, Derek.
Yeah, no doubt. It was jarring because, you know, you look up and one minute he's on the floor and the next minute he's not. And for the both of you, take me through that experience, because, you know, that was kind of a last-minute thing that popped up, and how it affected the team in accordance.
Well, I think, you know, first, just a couple minutes before the game, the team had taken the court, and Coach Henderson said to us, you know, he's not feeling so great. He's not sure if he's gonna be all right to coach the team. And I'm like, oh, you'll be fine. Come on, get out there. You're going to be great. And then 2 minutes into the game, he kneeled down in front of us and said, I'm out of here, guys. You guys got this one.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, tough words, too, at that time. But I think what happened with that was, like, when the head coach goes out, how does the team respond? And I think that was good. And that stems a lot from how we are in practice and how we've been building this whole thing up. So sometimes it was one of those things where it's like, no, of course we want Coach Henderson near. But then when he did step out, like I said, Brett did a great job of stepping up. And our team, we were still able to pull out a good win. So it was great.
You know? Coach, is that one of those situations for you where – you don't have time to think about getting nervous? You just have to do it?
Yeah, maybe it was better that way when you put it in that perspective. I mean, we really didn't have time to do anything but just step right into the role. And I think JJ hit it on the head. The guys were incredible. They were unfazed. I mean, these road games are so hard. Each and every Ivy League road game is so hard. And if any little bit of adversity had bothered them, we don't come out with a win. And those guys were really unfazed by the situation.
Absolutely, and they did a fantastic job, especially in the second half of the game. The Tigers trailed 26-19 at the end of the first half, and some of that momentum that Dartmouth had at the end of game one almost seemed to kind of carry over into the second game. What did you see there in the first half that did not allow the Tigers to get going?
You know, we talked a lot at halftime about the offense should not be affected our defense should not be affected by our offense, because our defense was really good to hold them to 26 points, and was really good for most of that half. Offensively was another issue, and I think we let some of our offensive struggles at times affect our defense, but that's where we needed to improve at halftime.
Coach Jones, you take a look at some of the numbers here for the Dartmouth forwards, Chris Knight and Aaron Ray. Those guys were monsters. How were the Tigers able to survive that? They combined for 43 points and 16 rebounds.
Yeah, well, I mean, from our first game here in Princeton at us playing Dartmouth, you know, I think Knight got in foul trouble early and he wasn't able to, you know, play as much. But you got to know the second time around is going to be completely different. And that's where it's a part of the game where you don't really we didn't expect that, but sometimes that's how it goes. But luckily, like I said, Richmond has been playing well. You know, Ryan Schwieger, like, he went 11 for 11 from the free throw line. And I think in league now he's shooting 84% from the free throw line. On top of that, he's a 38% three-point shooter in league. And when you have a guy like Ryan, like, he's been on a roll for us. And having him playing well, and we're able to, you know, able to hold off some, you know, big numbers from Rye and, like, you know, not Chris Knight, you know. So it was just great for that for us to see that.
And mentioning Ryan Knight, those two scored 20 each apiece, over 20. But Ryan Schwieger was the lead man, 26 points, as Coach Jones alluded to, 11 of 11 from the line, the first Tiger to do that since Noah Savage did it back in 2008.
How about that? Yes. Noah Savage.
Noah's probably like, oh, man, of course.
He is keenly aware of that statistic.
I bet he brought that up a couple times, huh?
Maybe.
He probably did.
11 of 11 for Ryan Schwieger, 26 points. Guys, how about him? I mean, he's been able to do it in different ways this season, and he impacts games so positively for the Tigers.
Such a versatile offensive player. I mean, at that size, 6'6", a guard, he was, you know, a very sure ball handler for us down the stretch. We needed every one of those 11 free throws. But he's been able to score in the post and from three. What was he, 3 for 6 on Friday night? He was 4 for 4 against Columbia the weekend before that. So for him to be shooting at this rate and be able to score in the post, it's a really tough matchup for our opponents.
Oh, no question. You take a look at how the Tigers have progressed here. They've had to play different styles of games because of injuries and different things. You have to figure out a way to get some of the younger guys to step up. And Ryan Schwieger, we've kind of seen that turn for him from a sophomore to junior year.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ryan, the thing with Ryan is always looking for extra time, extra shooting time to try to get himself better. You know, even leading up into the week, you know, Coach, you know, Sky Etten, he was always, you know, coming in at 8:30 with Sky, getting shots up. Every now and then he'll hit me up about some post stuff, and he's always trying to learn how he can become a better, you know, continue to get better as a player as each game goes on, but even each day. And sometimes those little daily deposits that you know, he asks for, we're able to give that to him, and then he just performs it out there on the floor. You know, so, and also for him too, like, his playing was like up and down. Like, we weren't really playing him as much, and then now it's starting to pick up and turn over. So it's really, I'm glad to see his improvement, and I can't wait to see, like, this weekend. I know he's going to be great.
And one of the unique things to see as a part of the Tigers program over the last couple of years has been, it almost seems like a switch goes off with some of the sophomores. We saw it a couple of years ago during the Tigers' big run with Miles Stevens when he really made that leap. We saw it a couple of years prior to that with Stephen Cook when he made that leap. And now, would you say we're starting to see that a little bit with Ryan Schwieger?
Absolutely. And you know, we've talked a lot, Derek, with the younger guys about, you know, you're at that point in the season where the freshmen have to become sophomores and the sophomores have to become juniors. And I think we definitely saw that with Ryan. There's a maturity. Yeah. There's a confidence. And I think some of the freshmen are getting to that point as well. I mean, Ethan Wright had a really big weekend with the Cornell-Columbia weekend. Didn't shoot it as well this weekend, but is getting more confidence, is getting more comfortable out there. Jalen has continued to make strides each weekend. So each of these guys kind of becoming a class up, a class ahead, is really key for us here these last couple weekends.
As that first game progressed against Dartmouth, the Tigers had to really hold them off. You're up 8 with a couple of minutes left, and then three-pointers, layups, things like that. They're able to scratch back into the game, and then kind of that miracle heave by James Foy to tie it and send it into overtime. Take me through your thoughts there in that situation, because sometimes people think, well, you need to foul up when you're up 3 or what have you. Take me through that situation and how things developed, because there wasn't a lot of time left in the game.
Yeah, there are so many factors, and without giving away our kind of philosophy here, I'll just say that there are so many factors, and the decision changes over the last 20, 30 seconds of the game. It's not the same that entire, you know, set on the clock. They're a really great shooting team. Obviously, that was a factor, and luckily it didn't come back to haunt us. The rebounding is always a factor there. Our free throw shooting, our ability to handle pressure are all factors there, and I'm just glad I don't have to have nightmares about that shot.
No question. But how about Jalen Llewellyn in overtime? He scores 5 straight points, Coach Jones, to kind of get the Tigers going there in round 2.
Yeah, it's good to see Jalen play well, and I don't know how many overtime games we've had this year, but it's been a, you know, we've had a handful of them. And
I think it's three.
Yeah.
I think.
So, and in our league, like, that's just how it is. We know it's going to be a tough match on the road, like, you know, Brett said, and just to see him go out there and just honestly, he just played free in that overtime. Like, he, like, all our guys were just like, okay, it's overtime. It's not the end of the world. Let's just take it one possession at a time, and let's just play Princeton basketball, and that's what we did, and it was just good to, you know, get that win. And, you know, Coach Henderson was so relieved afterwards. He was just – he didn't even watch the game. Like, he was just, like, taking a break. And then we finally was like, you know, we won. He's like, all right, okay, good, great. We'll move on to the next one. But, you know what I mean? But it's just how he is. But it was great. It was great.
Certainly when he arrives here in a little bit, we'll go over that in a little bit detail, because he did not see that game. And that's one of the things that's so amazing about that. You know, he had no idea what was happening in the gym over the course of the game. And I'm sure he wasn't shocked to see that it was a close game.
No, I'm sure. I was watching on ESPN Plus, and I think that his service wasn't great, and he couldn't stand the sounds of the crowd and the arena
and all the things
that could go through your head watching and you know, not being able to coach your team. So I'm really glad we got a win in his absence.
We have reached our first break of the Mitch Henderson Show. We will have more from the Alchemist and Barrister in just a few moments. We'll talk Princeton, Harvard, and, of course, take a look at Brown and Yale coming up this weekend. Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. Stay tuned. We'll have more headed your way in a moment right after this.
And now more of the Mitch Henderson Show with Derek Jones on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Back here on Fox Sports Radio, The Jersey 920, as we bring you another edition of the Mitch Henderson Show, back here with Associate Head Coach Brett McConnell and Assistant Coach Jonathan Jones talking about last weekend for the Princeton Tigers and taking a look forward to Brown and Yale in just a few moments. But first, let's go back to last Saturday. The Tigers fall to Harvard 66-58 in a game where it was kind of one of those rock'em sock'em first halves, low scoring, 23-22. Harvard had the lead. What did you see there after the first 20 minutes of action?
Defensively, I liked where we're at. I mean, I thought we did a really nice job defending them. Obviously, a really tough team to guard, Bryce Aiken being a prolific scorer. And we did a nice job slowing them down, at least in the first half. And offensively is where we struggled a little bit. Turnovers, a little bit of shot selection, and maybe missed some good shots as well. So that's what we knew we need to work on.
Coach Jones, it seems like teams are really making a concerted effort to really get aggressive with Richmond Aririgozo down in the low blocks. What did you see there against him on Saturday?
Yeah, well, you know, Richmond, we've been trying to work with him on things like that, of like he might get doubled. You know, sometimes guys are digging on him and things like that, and he just has to continue just to be confident and expect that that's what's going to be probably this weekend. He's got to expect the double, and he's got to expect that we're expecting for him to be able to pass the ball back out, you know, and just continue to move the ball. And at the end of the day, Richmond's still going to get his. He's going to do what he has to do, but I don't think a whole lot is on Richmond, but I think he just has to continue just to, you know, like, okay, I know I can take this on and I can take this challenge.
Derek, was that question your way of asking if you thought he was getting fouled a little bit on Saturday?
Maybe. I wasn't trying to lead the witness, but, you know.
Yeah, I tell Richard, listen, we're playing at Harvard. You can't expect any calls. Like, it's going to be – it's a heavyweight match. You know how it's going to be, so you just got to play through it. You know what I mean? And Richmond, like, he was able to do what he had to do. And Chris Lewis, he's a great player. Can't take anything away from him, but he also guarded him just as hard, just as well. And, you know, I'm happy with his, you know, with the game on Saturday in terms of his defense. Yeah.
One impressive thing in particular about Richmond this season, it seems like despite that, he is still able to be a factor in these games in some way, shape, or form, which really says about a lot. It says a lot about him this season.
Yeah, I've actually was just talking to Richmond yesterday, and I was just showing him, you know, game clips of the game and of Dartmouth and Harvard, and I was just telling him, like, now, like, believe it or not, like, it sounds like it goes so fast, but it's literally like we have two games left, and then that's it, you know. So now everybody knows who you are. Everybody knows what you do. They know what – they'll just pull up your last 100 post catches in the post and be able to see what you're doing all the time. Now can you be able to score no matter what the defense, how they're guarding you, no matter what's going on. That's how you become a better and more confident and a skill-type player, you know. And sometimes for Richmond, it's crazy, but just this time last year, it was nobody was probably saying too much about Richmond. But now all of a sudden this year, it's great to see that he's playing well. Now you have to be able to go out there and do it on a night-in and night-out basis when it really matters now, because now it's getting down to pretty much Ivy League tournament time. So you have to be able to do that. And I believe that he will, but sometimes you have to let players know, like, this is what it is. You can step up to the plate and do what you need to do, and we need you to do that because we need you. Just like we need Miles Stevens and, you know, Jalen Llewellyn, we need all these guys, but we need you to also do your part, a part of that five-man team.
Absolutely, and certainly the Tigers will look forward to action coming up on Friday and Saturday against Brown and Yale. Last Saturday, 66-58 loss for the Tigers, in which they were led by Miles Stevens, 21 points on the night for the Tigers to lead them, 12 for Richmond Ariri Guzzo, 10 for Ryan Schwieger. Bryce Aiken for Harvard on the other side, I mean, he's a really tough guy to defend.
He really is. I mean, he's incredible shooting the three ball off the dribble. You really can't give him much space, but he's fast and he's good enough to go by, and he's able to finish around the rim too. So you have to guard him as a team. It takes five guys helping and showing, you know, we stay showing the picture behind that one defender of what it looks like behind him, and being able to help that one defender. So it takes a full team effort to guard Aiken.
And certainly a lot of talented players in the Ivy League. The Tigers will see plenty on Friday and Saturday against Brown and Yale. Before we get there, though, look, I mean, we're talking about this off the air a moment ago. It is very difficult to figure out who's going to be where as far as who finishes where in the Ivy League. We know that Brown could be four, Cornell could be four, Penn could be four. There's a scenario, as we said, that Princeton could be four as well. How much of this is keeping this away from the players and just focus on the games?
It's funny. A buddy of ours printed out that 256 possibilities chart. And we're like, we don't want to see that. We don't want to hear about that. We got to focus on winning two games. And we have still a shot at winning the title.
Yes.
You know, winning the regular season title. So we have plenty at stake, plenty to play for. Thinking about the possibilities of who we may match up with in the Ivy League tournament does us no good. And I really believe the guys they're focused on the task at hand, and also sending our seniors out on their final two games at Jadwin with two wins.
And you mentioned that it's an emotional weekend for the seniors, because you look at a lot of the senior class, in particular Miles Stevens, and all of those guys have helped the program in a different way. But Miles Stevens, it's been so enjoyable to watch him play over these last 4 years. How about him as he gets ready for his final weekend at home in Jadwin?
Yeah, well, Miles, I mean, I talk with him all the time, and I'm like, being that it's my first year and just watching him actually, you know, coach him and everything, he really just brings everything that he has out there on the court. And I'm happy for him. I know that he's going to play well. He knows what's at stake. He's been here before, you know, obviously back when we won the title 2 years ago. Like, Miles knows what he has to do. And we're just going to watch him. We're going to coach him. We're going to give him the game plan of how things are going to go. And I'm sure that he'll go out there and just do just that.
And he will be a part of an effort that will try to slow down the Brown Bears. Brown defeating Princeton earlier this season. This one's for the both of you. What did you learn in that first game as you get ready here for game two on Friday?
Oh, man. I mean, Brown is a really, really athletic team. They're fast. They're athletic at almost every spot. Cho, as a center, is the fastest center in the league. He's almost a guard or forward that happens to play a little bigger and play center. We've known for, you know, 2 years now Desmond Cambridge and his athletic ability, his shooting ability. Oakley is playing like a senior. I mean, he is a key piece for them. So you have to be able to use different defenders on each of those three guys, and Max Johns comes to the top of my head. He had a really good performance up there at Brown to help us guard some of these different positions. So we've got to be able to defend them and in one-on-one situations.
It really seems like this year that they've – not that they've been hot and cold, but certainly when they've hit their peak in games, they're really difficult to deal with inside and outside. A lot of people obviously talk about Desmond Cambridge, but – as Coach McConnell alluded to, they have a lot of things to offer besides Desmond Cambridge.
Yes, absolutely. And I think up at Brown, I think it was George Mwanda Kalima.
Like, yes.
He had a, you know, probably a career night on us, and that's okay. We learned from that, you know. And Cambridge, I mean, Brown in themselves, they just play off of big-time moments and big-time shots and plays. And the more big-time plays that they have, the more they start to feed off of that. And as us for Princeton, we just have to continue just to weather the storm. Like, teams make runs. We're going to make our run. They're going to make their run. But at the end of the day, sometimes it might come down to that one last stop or that one last possession where it maybe is closing the first half or even then eventually closing out the game of who's going to stop the other offensive player. Are we going to be able to guard Cambridge, make him make the toughest shot possible? Sometimes that's all that it really is. Yes, we know his game. We know Cho's game. We know, you know, all these guys' games. But can defensively, can we force them to take the toughest shot possible, put a hand up, and then if they miss, great, we did our job. And then we call it a day, get the rebound, we're out on the races.
Day later, and by the way, that game Friday, a special start time of 4 p.m. It's a little bit unusual from the standard 6, 7, 8 o'clock range that the Tigers have been used to. But early Friday, a little bit of a different setup for you.
You know, it's nice, I think, in some ways to have the early game Friday be done, be able to start scouting and watching our next opponent, Yale Penn, play Friday night. And then a couple hours extra of recovery, especially the difference from playing a road game, mm-hmm. as we did with the Dartmouth-Harvard. You get in at 1 a.m. to your next hotel, and the turnaround's tough. So to start a little earlier on Friday, be in our own beds a little earlier, hopefully it helps us Saturday.
And the Yale Bulldogs come in a night later. It's been an unusual last couple of weeks for them. They lose that crazy game against Harvard at home on the Bryce Aiken shot. And then last Saturday, they after a blowout win a night before.
Oh, Cornell, then Columbia.
Columbia the next night really handled them for the most part. And a lot of people have been waiting for Columbia to kind of have that moment, and they did against Yale. What have you seen here out of the Bulldogs as of late?
Honestly, I mean, we all know, like, Copeland is like the floor general for them. Like, he everything starts and ends with him. You know, Reynolds is a true senior. He does whatever he has to do, you know, to help them out. And, you know, Mieoni, like, he's a big-time player, talented, skilled. And we know what their game – we know how their game is. And like I said, same thing. We know what our game plan is. We're going to go out there and just play how we're supposed to play. Miles senior night, you know, Noah senior night, Elias senior night. So – everybody's going to be – all the other guys, the underclassmen, sophomores, freshmen, they all know what's at stake. They want to have Miles and all these guys go out with a good game, and we want to win. You know, we're trying to the goal is to win the league. And it starts with Friday, Brown, and then Saturday, Yale. So,
Coach McConnell, what do you take away out of game one against Yale?
You know, we had a couple rough stretches. Transition killed us. I mean – Yale is maybe the best team in the league at transition offense, and you can't allow them to play in transition. They're too good. They're too athletic. Too many guys that make shots. So you got to stop them in transition and withstand those runs that they make. And I think the transition stuff starts with good shooting, good shot selection, taking care of the ball, not giving anything easy up on the other end. So that'll be a big key for me.
Well, gentlemen, thank you very much for stopping by. We will hear from Coach Henderson in just a few moments. Best of luck to you this weekend against Brown and Yale.
Thanks, Derek. Appreciate it.
All right.
This is the Mitch Henderson Show right here on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. We'll take a quick break and come back with more from the Alchemist and Barrister in just a moment.
And now, more of the Mitch Henderson Show with Derek Jones on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Welcome back to Alchemist and Barrister right here in downtown Princeton, New Jersey. It is Fox Sports 920 The Jersey and the Mitch Henderson Show. And right now we welcome in the head coach of the Princeton Tigers, Mitch Henderson. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great, Derek. Thanks. How are you?
Quite well. And it's a lot of happenings going on in the Ivy League, which we'll get to throughout the broadcast here in the next 20 minutes or so. And certainly when you take a look back at last weekend, we obviously touched on your situation with Coach McConnell and Coach Jones.
They brought it home.
Yeah, they did a fantastic job guiding the Tigers to that win. Your takeaways from the weekend as a whole from both games?
Well, you know, you have to look at things, I think, when you get done with the weekends. It's like, how do we improve? Like, how much better do we get? And I thought that we – you know, Friday night ended up being a really significant win on a lot of different levels. You know, I thought, another overtime win in the league, which is really good to learn how to win those games, puts us in the Ivy League tournament. And then Saturday night, we all credit goes to Harvard. We did not play well. And, for one of the first times all season, we got a little banged up on the boards. We, some of those hustle plays didn't go your way. And it was a really, I think, important lesson for us, you know, here as we head into the final home weekend. And then we can look forward to the Ivy League tournament. It's a completely different scenario than what, you know, we were in a year ago and what other teams in the league are in right now, which is you're fighting for your life to for that final slot.
Absolutely, and certainly there are a lot of dynamics that go into who could be taking up that final spot, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But certainly the Tigers, there's a lot of movement from 1, 2, 3, and 4. But before we get there, coming out of this game, one of the things I thought was very interesting – And the Tigers are going to go through this on Saturday with senior night. Senior night for Harvard, they obviously went to their senior lineup. What did you think of that first 4 minutes? Because it seemed like that gave them just enough energy to kind of set them on the right course.
Well, you know, you prepare for, you know, the guys that you know are going to play and you know, start the five seniors. And that didn't go quite the way we were hoping it would go. And then so you get to the, you know, 15-minute mark, and then march the guys that you've sort of prepared for, and you're a little – and they're fresh, and you're not. So, you know, look, like, you're on the road. It's senior night. It's an emotional evening for them in a way. But, you know, we weren't that sharp. And all credit goes to Harvard, but we've got a lot of work to do internally. But you mentioned something that I thought was a factor in the game for sure.
And now the Tigers get set for their own senior weekend, if you will, with Brown and Yale, and first with the Brown Bears. Different start time, 4 p.m., a lot on the line for the Tigers. Despite reaching the Ivy League tournament, you still have a shot to win the regular season title.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll obviously need a little bit of help, but, you know, we only have one thing to do, and that's you got to win Friday, and then you got to win Saturday. And that's generally the way I look at it, and, you know, not that this weekend isn't any different, because I think we've got to we're struggling offensively, right? We've had a hard time scoring. We've had a couple games in the league where that's not been true. But the group, we found an identity defensively, and that's been a big key part of us, and we've found some guys that have stepped up in crucial moments that, you know, like, for instance, Ryan Schwieger, we've played 12 Ivy League games. Ryan, I think, has played in 9 of those games. So he hasn't played in 3 games.
Right.
Literally hasn't played. And that's – I'm to blame for that, right? But he single-handedly won maybe close to 5 games for us. You know, I know, not single-handedly, but, like, he's played terrific. And five of our wins. And, you know, of course, you've got Richmond and Miles and Jalen. You've got other guys that have obviously made big contributions too. But Ryan's been just terrific. So – you know, you're trying to take a lot of these things in stride and say, okay, you know, where can we make improvements? You know, and I think every single coach in the league is trying to do the same thing. But I think that's the main goal for us is if we can get unstuck offensively, then I think we're on the move.
And when you take a look at, you mentioned the offense, certainly a big part of that has been Richmond Ariri Guzzo and obviously some of the key guys who have been starters throughout, Jalen Llewellyn as well. He seemed to give the Tigers a lot of energy last weekend throughout at times. As he closes out here to get ready for this final home weekend, you've mentioned a lot his defensive play, which I thought was really cool because that's something that doesn't get talked about a ton, even with the Tigers, because when you talk about defense with Princeton, the first discussion typically goes towards Miles Stevens, but Jalen Llewellyn has held his own for sure.
Yeah, he's been asked to do a lot that normally I would not ask a freshman to do, but he's very capable defensively, and he's a great listener. You know, you tell him something once, and he generally can do it pretty quickly. You know, I've got to watch him. You know, he's getting a little tired out there, and I've left him in at times when I think I probably should have given him a little bit of rest. But, you know, really hopeful that he played a ton of minutes on Saturday night. But he's got such good length, and I really believe that, you know, the more situations he can be in where he's failing and then picking himself up and learning how to push through it. You know, he had a play on Saturday night, and I say failing, like, to me, that's where the growth happens. You know, like, that's where you really can push through mistakes and say, okay, how do I figure this out? But he had a pull up jump shot in the second half to make it, I think, like a 6 or 7 point game after they had made a run. And it just was great. He got up in the air, and he had played a lot of minutes at that point, and it just looked beautiful. And that's the kind of shot we really want to encourage him to take. So you're right. Like, but I want to just make a point here. Like, the chemistry of the group is the most important thing. It's the only thing that really matters.
And to that point, actually going back the night earlier with the Dartmouth game,
I had to watch that game later. Now I was following along. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's okay.
It was an out of body, out of mind experience. I was following along on the ticker because I couldn't, you know, for a lot of different reasons. I was just watching the, you know, the game, and it, my wife is like, now you know how I feel, you know, watching these games. It was man, it was tough.
How about your coaching staff? Because that's a unique situation to be put in, and they were able to really get the team righted as the game wore on.
Well, I have ultimate confidence in Brett. You know, like immediately, I knew 5 minutes before the game was about to start. Actually, right after I talked to you, no one needs to hear this story, but you know, that something was wrong, and it wasn't something mild. And you know, coached enough games now where I was like, okay, maybe this is going to pass. And national anthem, first possession, no, that's it, you know. And I turned to Brett, and one of the reasons that it made it, you know, not easy, but like maybe more manageable to walk off the floor, is I said, okay. And he kind of nodded his head. He said, like, okay, you know, and like that's, I think that's a good sign. And, you know, afterwards he said, hey, you would have been really happy with the way the guys responded to each other, which meant that, you know, it's his first opportunity to coach and, you know, big moment. But his focus was on the way the team was behaving towards each other, which to me was, you know, what I care about. And he knows that that's what we're about. And I thought that was a really good sign. And that's a heck of a win, you know. And they, you know, Chris, you know, JJ, Brett, Sky, like, you know, the guys on the team, you know, they deserve all the credit. I'm not saying that my leaving is, I don't want to for a second assume that, you know, I'm that special, right? But like, it certainly doesn't help when something's different.
Right.
And, you know, for them to come out in the second half the way they did and then to win a game in overtime, that, you know, the games like that that get sent into overtime, those are crushing sort of things to have to deal with.
And one thing also on top of that, you know, this is a Dartmouth team that is no stranger to being in those games. And unfortunately for them, they've come out on the losing side of those situations time after time. I believe the number was 7 of 9 games this season in the Ivy League that they've lost have been either a one possession game or decided by 5 points or less, and the Tigers were able to survive.
Well, that's, you know, I saw Dave before the game, and he's like 6 1 possession games, and as soon as he said it, I like swallowed hard. I was like, oh my gosh, you know. But you know, I think is it right that our league's got the closest margin of any league in the country?
That's correct.
The highest
percentage of close games.
Yeah, I mean that's why I'm. You can't see me right now, but I'm rubbing my forehead. That's the kind of year it's been. It hasn't been anything easy.
And the Tigers will get ready for Brown and Yale. We'll talk about senior weekend coming up in just a few moments as we bring you the Mitch Henderson Show right here from the Alchemist and Barrister, Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. Stay tuned. We'll have more headed your way in just a moment.
And now more of the Mitch Henderson Show with Derek Jones on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Welcome back to the Alchemist and Barrister, which is the proud host of the Mitch Henderson Show every Tuesday night. Join us each week for the latest on the Princeton Tigers basketball team. Stop in the A&B all day Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday with a ticket stub from any Princeton men's or women's 2018-19 home basketball game and enjoy a free order of Alchemist and Barrister signature nachos as we are joined once again by Coach Henderson. And Coach, big weekend for the Tigers, not only from the perspective of the Ivy League tournament, but also it's senior weekend as well, and we'll have senior night on Saturday as the Tigers take on the Yale Bulldogs. How about the seniors? They've all contributed in different ways for this program.
Right, and you know, we have a senior that no one knows about, and Nikhil. You know, Nikhil's father went to Princeton. He's you know, like behind the scenes, you know, there's a little thing that happens almost every single game. I'm, you know, like any coach, you know, you get used to something, and Nikhil always has the dry erase board ready for me. This is like the smallest thing. You tend to like zero in on something, but he's amazing. You know, his demeanor, we're going to miss him so much. You know, I people don't realize any coach, if you said this, any coach would understand this, but having a good manager, one of my best friends in the world is on the manager that was on our team when I played at Princeton. I don't even think of him that way. It's really like having a you know, another brother. We're really going to miss Nikhil. And then you've got, you know, Elias, Noah, and Miles. And, you know, we've Obviously, Devin is not with us anymore, but you know, we've got a terrific senior class, and we're hopeful that you know, we and the fans, and then through our play, can honor them.
The Yale Bulldogs will come in on Saturday. We're talking earlier with Coach McConnell and Coach Jones. They've had a weird last couple of weeks. You and I have talked a lot about Columbia and how good you thought they were, and how good they have appeared to be on paper and in games as well.
Yeah.
And they finally kind of stepped up in a weekend as a whole and swept the weekend on the road, which is not easy.
A great weekend. You know, there wasn't a single person surprised by that in the league. And I'm sure people listening to us, you know, were saying, you know, why does he keep talking about Columbia? But they played, I thought, so well both games this weekend. And they played Yale. They were kind of dominant in at stretches.
Right.
And Yale's so good and so talented. And it's the margin, Derek, between the top teams and the bottom teams is razor thin. And, you know, I just think that it generally comes down to a few plays in each of these games. Now, there was a couple blowouts this weekend, but now, I mean, blowouts, like, you know, anything more than 3 points is a blowout, right?
Right.
You know, but, you know, I really feel like the level of competition is pretty even, and the matchups really are key here. That's a big part of this.
What do you see here out of matchup number two against Brown and Yale, for that matter?
Well, so, you know, it's the second time around. We were, you know, we haven't seen them in a few weeks. We were different back then when we saw them. We were, you know, we're a different team now, and so are they. And they're playing, both teams are playing for, you know, really something really significant. Of course, Brown for that slot in the tournament and Yale for a title. So, you know, we've got to think about what we've got to do. I think there's just a massive amount of improvement ahead for our program. I was talking to the freshmen, which is why I was a little late tonight. We had a little bit of a later video session here. I was talking to the freshmen on the way up, and I said, look, you know, I hope you don't have any fatigue, because in about a month, you're going to be it'd be sunny and beautiful down here, and all of a sudden you'll just be like, oh, this is great, isn't it? And you'll think back on this moment right here and say, man, I had the world right in front of me, and we need them. And we need them. We're counting on these guys to come through for us. And I said, I'm so proud of you guys that you've earned this opportunity. But also, it's time to be sophomores. Let's go.
Right, you know? Right.
And, you know, they kind of nod their head and they listen, but I'm not sure they're really hearing me. I'm hopeful that they are. But I, getting back to this weekend, like, that's it. Like, you know, the second time around, it's about who are the X's and who are the O's. How are you making those little plays? How are you putting your stamp on those plays?
And certainly the freshmen have, over the last couple of games, played a more significant role in mass. We've seen Max John certainly over the last few weeks play a bigger role, Ethan Wright as well. We saw Drew Freiberg on Saturday. And, you know, when you get to this point of the season where you have these games on Fridays, Saturdays, where you need an extra contribution, and especially when you get to the Ivy League tournament, a lot of times it's the unsung heroes that can really help bring you home.
Yeah, absolutely. You go on a weekend, you say, I hope so-and-so plays well. Well, that's never the case. It's going to be, you know, even this last weekend on Saturday night, I thought Harvard had two massive threes from a freshman, Cale Catchings, who isn't known as a three-point shooter. But those are two big threes, and that's good basketball. We're going to need the same thing. And we had that from Ethan during the Cornell-Columbia home weekend. Max has had big moments in games. Drew's going to be a terrific player here at Princeton. I told the guys today, I said, hey, can you believe that Richmond didn't play as a freshman? And they all kind of started laughing. And I said, yeah, you know what? He didn't play, you know? And I say this, you know, and what? Guess what? He wasn't very good. You know, he was a bad player. But, and like, they kind of can't believe it, but it, just the sheer level of work and, you know, the sweat equity that goes into being a good player, it doesn't always pay out, but that's what it looks like, and I think they're starting to understand that.
And the Tigers look to grab a couple of wins this weekend against Brown and Yale. Coach, before we let you go, big news last week with the Ivy League. the decision to go to kind of a rotating basis, pretty much, of the host of the Ivy League tournament. Everyone's going to get a shot at this point, and it's kind of retroactive of Penn hosting, and it's going to go around the league with Princeton hosting in 2021. What are your thoughts on this now moving from university to campus to campus?
Well, I was a part of, when I first got into the league, 2011, you know, we had a lot of different athletic directors. We had different coaches in the league, and there were a lot of differing opinions. And then I rotated into the chair spot maybe in my third or fourth year. And, you know, what we started to talk about at that point was, okay, in order to get a league tournament, let's look at it this way. And I thought this was the right way to think. And I'm not certainly not taking any credit for this, but we're not going to get it right in year one, but let's make sure we do it. I can see there's arguments for having eight teams. I can see an argument for having it at the top seed teams. But I think each year that we do the tournament, the league gets smarter and better about how everything runs. And, you know, now we're rotating and there's a schedule in place for the rotation. You know, you're highlighting each of the different kinds of institutions within the league, but the message has got to be the same. Like, the league tournament has created a totally different environment around the league. There's now, I mean, my first 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, excuse me, 6 years in the league, I had multiple teams that were playing absolutely our best basketball going into the last weekend. And like, I would have loved a shot at tournament in those years. Like, I mean, I would have loved an opportunity to make it, and we would have made it. And we would have been hot, like, and you know, the TJ Bray, like Ian Hummer, those guys, like, you know, it's, you know, even Spencer's freshman year, like Spencer and Steve, Pete, like that, those teams were on fire, you know. And were you on fire because there was no tournament, you know?
Yeah.
And you weren't fighting for a fourth place spot? You know, these are all interesting questions that sort of now kind of don't matter. But, man, I just, like, for a lot of, like, for me, a lot of memories long, and like a year ago now, it was kind of pure hell, right? We were fighting for our life. And so I'm happy that, you know, wherever the tournament is, it's a two-game tournament, right? You got to win two, and you're in.
And the Tigers will get ready for that after this weekend. They will be a part of the Ivy League tournament, but a lot of basketball first before we get there. Coach, best of luck to
Derek,
you and the
thank
Tigers.
Thank you so much. You know what? It's awesome to be here at the AMB. We love being here, right? This has been a fun run here, and we got to keep it going.
Absolutely, and the Tigers will get ready for action this weekend. We'll take one final break, and when we come back, we will close out the show and attempt to make some sense of what's going on with the Ivy League tournament and a whole lot more. This is the Mitch Henderson Show right here on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
And now, more of the Mitch Henderson Show with Derek Jones on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Set to close out the Mitch Henderson Show right here on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. As we remind you, the Alchemist and Barrister is proud to host the Mitch Henderson Show every Tuesday night. Join us each week for the latest on the Princeton Tigers basketball team. Stop in the AMB all day Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday with a ticket stub from any Princeton men's or women's 2018-19 home basketball game and enjoy a free order of Alchemist and Barrister signature nachos. Final home games of the season for the Princeton Tigers coming up on Saturday. As we mentioned at the very top of the broadcast, the scenario for the Tigers is this. They can either finish 1, 2, 3, or 4 in the Ivy League tournament. Now, as far as who they will play, that, again, is very much up in the air. Because they could finish 1, 2, 3, or 4, there's no locked-in scenario to where they will definitely play Yale or Harvard. Obviously, the scenario that is to be figured out with that 4 spot, which we'll get to in a second, has to be kind of hashed out in the long run this weekend, which it will be. The Tigers will take on Brown coming up this Friday at 4 p.m., a different start time for the Tigers on Friday, as we talked about earlier with Coach McConnell and Coach Jones. And then they will obviously have Yale on a senior night, one night later, in a game where the Tigers will look to avenge a loss from earlier this season against the Bulldogs, that one with a 6 p.m. start. Now, as far as the four seed goes, here's what we can tell you. So it's, at this point, Cornell, Brown, and Penn in competition for the fourth spot in the Ivy League tournament. Brown can actually finish as high as three if they're able to grab a win and two wins this weekend over both Columbia and Cornell. If they're able to do that, then they – or excuse me, over Penn and Princeton, I should say, they will grab the three spot because of tiebreakers. Now, as it relates to a three-way tie, Brown, Penn, and Cornell, if they all end up with the same record, then it will be Penn – because of their performance overall against Brown and Cornell, they will end up with a better record in terms of those matchups, and they will get the nod for the four seed. So a three-way tie between Brown, Penn, and Cornell favors Penn. As far as the other scenarios, some of them literally depends on who else wins around the league. I will not bore you with all of those machinations. However, I would suggest that for a cheap gratuitous plug for them, if you check out Yale Sports Analytics on Twitter, they have a great engine that can kind of give you a lot of the different scenarios that could play out. There are 256 different scenarios that could take place this coming weekend as a result of different game results. So we'll see how everything shakes out. Obviously, the Tigers have a shot to end up at that top spot and win the regular season Ivy League title, which would be huge for the Tigers after that 4-0 start. We'll see what happens this weekend. Brown and Yale on tap. Special thanks to Mitch Henderson and, of course, Associate Head Coach Brett McConnell and Assistant Coach Jonathan Jones. I'm Derek Jones saying so long, and we will talk to you next week at 6 on Tuesday night from the Alchemist and Barrister for the Mitch Henderson Show. Have a good night, everybody.